into the project. I thought it might be good to update folks on that too, Tim.
Yeah, so I mentioned the $1.25 billion for construction and commissioning. Of that $1.25 billion, we're approximately $500 million in. So that's, again, not only the construction that's going on right now, but that's all the design work that was done in previous years, all the planning work that was done in previous years. So, you know, we're over a third of the way done. And it's very evident when you drive by the site and you see the work that's going on. It's coming up out of the ground pretty quickly. Containment walls are being poured, basically the concrete walls that are in the containment area. That's going to be done in July, August timeframe. You can see as you're looking from west to east over on the south side, on the right side of the facility, we're getting some elevation there. We're getting up to where we are starting to prepare the decking for the floor of the penthouse upper level of the facility. So it's going along pretty quickly, which we're very happy with. We don't get too cocky that, hey, we're going, you know, too fast, because, you know, there's all kinds of different things that can still happen on a large complex project like this. But we're really, really happy with the progress to date.
I know also some good news, it sounds like, with an operation planning contract. I'll let you kind of explain that.
Yes. So our overall acquisition strategy for operations of the facility is in targeted for the fall of 2018. We want to bring on board a contractor that is going to assist DHS and USDA in the operation of the facility. Of course, we're the government, so we have to have an acronym. So it's the MORS, M-O-R-S, Management Operating and Research Support. That's our cute little acronym for that service. That's going to be a rather large project, upwards of $500 million-ish or so over 10 years. Again, those are approximate values right now. But to get to that point, we've just recently hired an initial operating planning contractor, again, acronym OPTIC, Operational Planning Technology Integration Contractor. That was just awarded to a company, Merrick, who's very well known in the biocontainment business. That was just awarded in the month of April. Getting them on board, they're going to start helping us with initial planning activities leading up to planning for award of the MORS contract in the fall of 2018. These are very, very important actions for us because, you know, we've talked for some time about getting into the operations planning, how critical that is, and we're there now. And so we're very excited about this recent award and the opportunities that will be coming up in future awards.
Does time just seem to be flying by? I mean, really, as you're saying, you're kind of getting almost beyond the planning stage on some of these things. I mean, it's actually occurring now. And it's funny because I ask you how you liked Manhattan. You've been here 6 years now. So, I mean, it's moves
yeah,
fast,
time,
it?
Time flies when you're having fun.
I guess. Well, and I know, too, we did want to make mention, I know the community liaison group continues to meet and invite you in to give updates, I presume.
Yes. So we just had the most recent edition of the community liaison group last week. Yes, I believe it was. And again, Dr. Vernier is the main lead for coordinating with those folks. But that's the community group. It's their group, their meeting. They invite us in to give them updates on various topics. This last week, Tim Burke, my cohort, who's leading the operations planning effort, gave an overview of the contract vehicles I was just talking about and possibilities for future involvement, you know, from small businesses in the Manhattan community in the lab operational aspects and just a general overview of how that's all going to work. Yeah, so that continues to be very successful from our view, and I think from the community participants as well, as far as having a venue to have a dialogue on issues pertinent to the MBAF facility now and future operations and safety aspects and the like.
Partnerships, I know, are so important. We've talked with Marty several times on that very subject. And I know, actually, there's a weekend event that's going on at Kansas State University. And while maybe not a direct involvement, I mean, you are obviously involved a little bit with that.
Yeah, this is a... So Dr. Jürgen Richt at Kansas State University with the Center of Excellence for Emerging and Zoonotic Animal Diseases, CZAD, they are sponsoring a BSL-4 Animal Research Diagnostic Workshop this weekend. And again, BSL-4 designates the level of the lab relative to the danger of the pathogens that you're working on. So with the BSL-4, you're working on pathogens for which there's no treatment, and basically you're doing research in basically a moon suit, so to speak. So even though we, MBAF, are not specifically partnering with them on this workshop, we have coordinated. Again, Dr. Vernier has been in contact with Dr. Richt. I'm going to be there on Saturday morning, give an overview of the project to the folks that are attending, which the attendant, this is a invitation-only discussion, international attendance at this. This is the type of thing that MBAF DHS doesn't directly control, but it's kind of the, I will call the spinoff kinds of activities that I think you'll start seeing more of as time goes on. There's a lot of interest with the capabilities of MBAF once it's up and running in the realm of BSL-4 large animal research.
Do want to remind our listeners just a few more minutes here with Tim. If you do have questions or comments, 537-1350 or toll-free 866-776-1350. And speaking of questions, I know you're still getting out and about and working with a lot of different groups, but some of your most frequently asked questions when you're out giving presentations.
Oh, let's see. The most frequently asked questions. So I get asked, and I think Dr. Vernier also gets asked, the question on worker population, kind of along the lines of the questions the gentleman asked earlier. You know, how many workers are there going to be in construction, and what are you going to do with all those people? And for operations, how many people are going to work in the facility? I know at one time talking about, you know, worker population at the site, there was a concern that we're going to peak at 800 or 900 a day, and what are we going to do to all those folks? But as it turns out, the construction population for K-State's been going down. The construction population for Fort Riley's been going down. So basically, in the immediate region, it's staying level or overall going down a little bit. So that's a question. The question about the number of folks that will work in the facility in the future, that's going to be approximately 400 people. And that's actually in the lab. Again, economic development is not the area of responsibility of DHS, but when you talk to a lot of folks from the state and folks from the university, the discussions on economic development in the area, as far as the additional population that might come in around the facility, would be beyond those 400 people that are actually going to work in the facility. Those are two of the main questions we get. We get questions on safety all the time. And we're trying to we're in the process of developing some improved illustrations to share with the community on some of the safety aspects of the facility as well.
And even now in the construction phase, I'm sure there's security measures in place. I mean, when you have your little bus loads or whoever.
Oh yeah, every worker who works on that site has gone through a background check. So it's not a classified facility, but everybody does go through there's a name for it, and I can't recall what it is. Basically, a criminal background check to see if you don't have any outstanding warrants, anything like that, and see if there aren't any other issues. Got to be a U.S. citizen to work on the site. So there is that, and our security director, John Mose, has, since he's been here now, about a year since he got here, and has taken additional steps. And it's not only just, you know, keeping people out of the site. It is the security, making sure that the security systems that will be part of the facility, whether they be engineered security features such as a wall or some sort of electronics device versus a administrative procedure. You know, you have to have these credentials to get in this part of the lab. Those are continued to be checked and reviewed as we go further into construction as
now,
well.
Now, Tim, you're willing to go out to different groups. And I know you have done that. And I don't know, more recently, maybe different groups you might have shared some of this information with, but you are willing to do that.
Oh, yes.
Specific groups,
yes,
it doesn't matter.
Yes, either myself or Dr. Vernier, depending on availability, depending on the group, you know. And we partner with the university as well, Dr. Ron Truen. We've done, you know, joint presentations with him in the past, and we actually work very well as a team. I've gotten a call from Ron before, you know, hey, can you do this group? Because I'm tied up that weekend, and the same with him. So, yeah, between Dr. Truen, Dr. Vernier, and myself, we do our best to support any requests that we get.
And you keep it pretty layman's terms, too. I mean, you could get real technical,
well,
but you don't.
As I like to say, you know, when I go out and do my presentations, my background, I'm a civil engineering grad from K-State, and my background is program and project management. I'm a researcher. I'm not a researcher, I'm sorry. So I have to keep it on layman's terms, so, you know, for my own sanity. But it works pretty well. And I do think people appreciate when we get out and can provide them information that we have.
It's been fascinating to talk with Dr. Vernier and some of her stories of things she's learning along the way, too, of all the detail work involved, even the surface of flooring. And I mean, it's just amazing all the detail that's involved with an operation like this.
Yes, and it's still ongoing. It's we got a ways to go, and it is fun to see it. And actually, what makes it fun are some of the great people we have on our staff here at the site. You know, the engineers, our technical manager, Eugene Cole, who I actually call our biocontainment savant. He knows everything there is to know about biocontainment facilities. And, you know, to have him as a federal employee, you know, we are very, very lucky, as well as other people on the site who have really dedicated themselves to making sure this is done right.
Well, thanks again, Tim Barr, with us today, NBAF Program Manager. I guess I do need to say with the Department of Homeland Security. I didn't say that earlier, and that is important to add that. We'll take a break. When we come back, Governor's Military Council Executive Director Perry Wiggins joining us today, and you're listening to In Focus on News Radio, KMAN.